Let's take your Bibles, and we'll turn first to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25. Our series continues in the book of Ruth. We'll come to that, but first we'll read this one verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 25. And we've reached the part in our series where we'll go more just right through the book, passage by passage of Ruth. Page 685 in the Pew Bibles, Proverbs 16, verse 25. People of God, hear now God's holy word. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, page 282. Joshua judges Ruth in 1st, 2nd Samuel. Ruth 1, read the first five verses. Ruth 1, verse 1, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. As far as the reading of God's holy word, congregation, the book of Ruth, we've been through it a bit. Trust you've read it on your own. Also, it's a short story, as stories in the Bible go, books in the Bible go. It's historical. It really happened. But what we read is not so much a historical book, a history book, as a short story. Wonderfully presented to point to the greatest of all stories, God's grace and kindness, loyal love, which in this story are imaged by reflected in Boaz's grace and Ruth's loyal love. It's a wonderful story. It shows how male and female are to image their God, not just as God created us to do so before sin, but by God's grace, even in the midst of a fallen world. How they image God, how we should do that. Hopefully we've seen that as we've gone through the background and the themes tracing through. But again, now we begin stepping through the verses, the passage. And the first, we come to these first five verses, they set the stage, the background. And that is by giving us a picture of tragedy. But that God uses tragedy to set the stage for his amazing work. God uses tragedy to set the stage for his amazing work. First, we consider earthly tragedy, earthly tragedy. So Ruth opens up by recounting one of several earthly tragedies, a famine. There was a famine in the land, a famine in the land of Israel. Now, in our country, especially in this part of the country, we've been blessed. Well, perhaps there are times where we wonder about the rain and what's going to happen and maybe some bit of drought, but no famine. Now, prices, they go up and down, but production in the fields, it's been amazing by God's kind providence. Well, that was not the case at the beginning of the book, the story of Ruth. There's an earthly tragedy, a famine. And the family that is at the heart of this story tries to escape famine by moving to the land of Moab. And so there, the tragedy of famine seems to be lessened for them, but at the cost of leaving home, leaving the promised land. But even with this calm from famine, tragedy seems to follow. Tragedy visits the family, making the scene much bleaker than famine. Or what did we read there in verse 3? But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. She was left with her two sons. Here is compounded tragedy. Now, some people say that things come in threes, particularly bad things. So we have one tragedy of famine, another tragedy, Elimelech, the husband, the father, dying. Well, here's a third tragedy. Famine, death of the father, but so too, verse 5, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Three earthly tragedies. And that sets the scene, and the reader is left then with these questions. How will God use this? Has to be the Lord. Only the Lord who can work here. Certainly won't be Naomi. Now the verses we read mention twice the result of these tragedies with the word in our translation, left, verse 3. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. In verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Naomi was left. She was left without her husband. She was left without her sons. That word left, it's not the opposite of right in this case, but it's often used for remnant, the part that remains after judgment. After judgment consumes others. The same word was used of Noah in Genesis 7, verse 23, where it says God blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. Noah and those in the ark were left. Of all that walked and breathed upon the earth because of the great flood, that judgment, that tragedy, so to speak. The same word was used of those who were left in Judah after Nebuchadnezzar took many into exile. So it is here with Naomi. She was left without her husband, without her two sons and her husband, verse 5. Her situation is bleak. She's in a foreign land without a protector, any protector. And she perhaps thought it was a liability what she did have, two Moabite daughters-in-law. She can't do anything. God's setting the stage. Now think about this story, about how we are to react. Now granted, it might be somewhat difficult. We've read it, many of us, for many times. But think that if this story is found in the Holy Bible, a book that records God's gracious actions toward fallen man, what are we set up to encounter in this story? Things can't get worse for Naomi. They're bleak. And that's just the beginning. It's got to get better because we've got more chapters in this story. Tragedy sets the stage for God's amazing work. It brings before us how weak, how frail we are. We come to the end, we have the same, we come to the end of our rope. It's shown that, you know what, we really didn't have strength anywhere all along the line, but now we realize it. The beginning to this book of Ruth repeats tragedies that are found throughout Scripture that set the stage for God's famine. We saw in our, we go through Genesis and there was famine in Abraham's time. We saw that through our series, right? We haven't come to it yet, but in Isaac's time and Jacob and Joseph's time, God used that amazingly, right? In Joseph's time. Each one of these serves a role in God's plan for his people. The book of Ruth is no different. It continues the biblical story, themes of man's weakness to be resolved by God's strength. A small picture of the tragedy that frames the beginning of every human's lot in life, every child, every person here. We are all weak. We are all frail. If not in the midst of tragedy, at least humanly speaking, on the edge of it. We don't know what will take place tomorrow with us, even today. Congregation, don't be surprised at earthly tragedies of one sort or another. Now, we often might not expect a specific tragedy or this one or that one, but that tragedies come to us, that's not unusual. In one sense, it's not something that should surprise us. It's the history of man ever since Adam's sin, his rebellion against God. This earth is broken. Every tragedy, as well as the overall picture of tragedy, we should use it by God's grace to set in our mind, direct our thinking, set the stage. All is not well on the earth. This world is not our home. There is only a step between us and death. We live in the midst of death. As Eliphaz rightly said in Job 5, verse 7, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Congregation, God has blessed our land. Great abundance, medical advances, technological advances, freedom, liberty still. Many, many improvements in just 250 years. Don't let that blessedness, these wonderful gifts, draw you into complacency to the fallenness and the brokenness, tragedy around us. Our world might try to push death off and forget about it and not think about it, but it is all around us. A number in our congregation have experienced recently. Even if we live a life of earthly ease, death comes, tragedy comes, in an earthly way of speaking. But that all sets the stage for God's work. And just as every good story has some conflict in it, some hurdle to overcome, these are modeled after the great story of God's overcoming our tragedies. We see proof of this not simply in the story of Ruth. This was a story of one family, not every family, but we see proof of this and guarantee of God's triumph over tragedy in the story of Jesus. Again, history, but the gospel accounts often give it not just a bare historical record, but they present it with a purpose, a meaning. We think of Jesus. He endured great tragedy. He suffered willingly, mocking, crucifixion, death, hell, in order to set free those who believe in Jesus. On the third day, God showed forth his power and raised Jesus from the dead. He ascended into heaven. There in the gospel of Jesus, the great tragedy sets the stage for great victory by God over sin, Satan, and death. And we as Christians then, we believe that. We can have hope in our earthly tragedies. God might relieve an earthly tragedy in your life. And if he does, marvel at it. Praise him for it. God's good kindness. But if God does not relieve you now of that earthly tragedy, know this, he will relieve it in the day of resurrection. There will be an end for God's children of all tragedy. Christ's resurrection is proof, is the down payment of that. Have hope. Now, why does God allow earthly tragedies? Questions often put, how can a loving God permit his creatures, even more his children, to suffer, sometimes to suffer greatly? Some people are perplexed. Some people say, I can't believe in a God who would do that. Sometimes earthly tragedies are a direct result, a consequence of our sin, as this family situation. Sometimes they are not. You need to be clear from that. Something bad happens in this life, it's not always you can say, well, you did that. The story of Job, right? We might not know exactly how a particular tragedy fits, why it came about. But God has revealed his purpose in all things, his glory, and he works all things, even earthly tragedies, to the good of his people. He's given clear proof of his intentions in the earthly tragedy surrounding his own beloved son, Jesus. It's especially in the earthly tragedies upon Christ that connection that is made between earthly tragedy and what we move to in our second point, spiritual tragedy. Spiritual tragedy. Now, in these verses, as with earthly tragedies, there's also spiritual tragedies setting the stage. And the first spiritual tragedy corresponds to the first earthly tragedy, the famine. And we talked about this some weeks ago. The author records this was in the time, verse 1, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Judges, time of disobedience by Israel, a time where Judges again and again says, there was no king in the land, everyone did as he saw fit. And God's consequent disciplining of Israel, the earthly tragedy follows the spiritual tragedy. The spiritual tragedy of Israel of unfaithfulness, and then the famine results. So with this next tragedy here, Elimelech's death, that earthly tragedy follows the spiritual tragedy of what? Forsaking the land of Israel, the promised land for the land of Moab. The spiritual there led to the earthly tragedy. And then the third earthly tragedy It was after Mahlon and Chilion married Moabite women, women they ought not to have married. It's after that that they died in the land of Moab. That's how the story is presenting itself, unfolding itself. Three earthly tragedies flowing from three spiritual tragedies. Now, the author presents the earthly tragedies in a matter-of-fact way, but to a Jew reading this, someone knowing the law of Moses, they would know the background, the underlying spiritual tragedies and how the author is bringing them up. It's like the connection is there. The spiritual tragedies followed by the earthly tragedies. Now, especially in the Old Covenant, God often drew consequences directly to sins. Again, to be careful in our lives and directly tying it. We can't always. But what did we read from Proverbs 16, verse 25? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. People of God, children, young people, hear that proverb carefully. It summarizes what the first five verses of Ruth bring to us. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. And that's cause for us to reflect. What way are you following? By what standard do you judge right and wrong and what you should do? Look around the society around us. We see a society that's following a way that seems right to it, to them. Sexual immorality, pornography, marijuana, drunkenness, rebellion, abortion, Sabbath breaking, idolatry. Our society is walking down a path that seems right to them. We live in a democracy, republic, a democracy. As a society, we go the way that seems right to man. It's built in to our form of government. I'm not saying that's bad, it's just a fact. Our society is walking down a way that seems right to them, but the end leads to death. That was the case with Israel and the resulting famine, the case of Elimelech and his resulting death, the case of Mahlon and Chilion and their resulting deaths. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And we are to take instruction and consider ourselves in light of God's word. Where are the paths, particular paths in your life that seem right to you, that seem to make sense, that fit a certain way, but that you can't say, this is what God says for me to do? Husbands, how do you treat your wife? Is it with, as God says, with love and understanding, with gentleness as the weaker vessel? That's God's way. Or do you treat her as seems right to you? Wives, how do you treat your husband? Is it with submission and respect? That's God's way. Or do you treat him as seems right to you? Children and young people, how do you treat your mother, your father? Do you honor them or do you disregard their commands, despise their instruction and training? Do you listen to your friends or your wants instead of your parents? What are the ways that seem right to you? Even in Proverbs, it doesn't say that they think right or feel right even. It does. It seems right. It includes it all. What way seems right to you? It's leading to death. Often at the heart of earthly tragedy, and not always, but often at the heart of earthly tragedies in people's life, there's spiritual tragedy. There's sin. You think about in trying to talk to someone or counsel someone. There's heat, there's a problem, there's a tragedy. Call it what you will. Okay, so what's at the root of that? Sometimes it's someone else's sin. Sometimes it's just in God's providence. Okay, but there's a temptation to sin in response to it. Sometimes it's a result of our sin. And sometimes it's a result of all three. And so when you counsel someone to try to dig beneath the surface, okay, what's going on here? Let's talk about this. And to be transparent and open up, to be able to get to the root. Earthly tragedy is often tied up in spiritual. And that Proverbs passage comes in. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. Turn from your own way. Turn from your own reasoning. Turn from your own feelings. Turn from your own heart-seeking. Turn from your sin. Repent and turn unto God and His way. Look at the end of this family. Because of their sin, consider carefully. It's death. Did Elimelech think that leaving the land? No. Did Mahlon and Chilion think of that following their heart, let's suppose, put it in phrase of our own, and marrying those Moabite women? No, they didn't think of that. It happened. And what about us? Consider carefully. Naomi here, she's left without her husband, she's left without her sons. Would she also die in Moab? Would her story, her way, end here? Again, Proverbs brings out general principles, doesn't it? But God's grace stepped in. And we know that from reading beyond. Naomi does not remain in her own way by God's grace, thankfully. God brought her out. God uses tragedy to set the stage for His amazing work. Even the tragedy of sin. So he said, don't lose hope in earthly tragedy. Don't lose hope with spiritual tragedy. But don't stay there. But why would God do this? And earlier we wondered, why would God bring earthly tragedy? And gave a biblical reason. God uses them for His glory and the good of His people. And sometimes to bring about, our conviction. Well, what about spiritual tragedy? Earthly tragedy is one thing for people to suffer, but for someone to fall into sin, a covenant member, how does that type of spiritual tragedy advance the righteous cause of God? Well, first, God doesn't owe it to us to keep us from sin. We don't have a claim from God. In fact, Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. We are to pray that because we are to know how weak we are. It shows our utter dependence on God. Many people will say, I pray for food, I pray for health, I pray for earthly things, daily bread. But everything we depend upon God. And that means spiritual well-being included. Not just give us this day our daily bread, but also forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Many people who claim to be a Christian say that man must do something. Yeah, God provides my food and I pray for that. But in salvation, well, you've got to have your will. Or maybe some good works that lead to it. God might take the initiative, but it's up to man to accept God's offer. Making some decision, doing some work, they put it in man. We're completely helpless. Earthly tragedy, spiritual tragedy. Why don't we listen? We're completely helpless. We need God, always. But God uses tragedy to set the stage for His amazing work, to show Himself strong, not us. In congregation, by nature, you and I were totally unable to do any good. We're inclined toward all evil. It's all a gift of God's grace, a work of the Spirit in our lives. Well, then should we just sit back? And should we not pursue and just wait and say, well, I'm going to wait for God to work here? Well, that's not biblical teaching. We're to plead to God for grace, His sustaining grace. And we're to make use of the means He has given us to strengthen our faith, to walk in His way. And just like a farmer, a farmer can't make the seed grow into a plant, can he? But he plants, and he waters. Praise. And God makes the seed grow. Sometimes here, sometimes not here. Sometimes abundantly, sometimes not. But He uses the means God has given. Again and again, faithfully waiting upon the Lord. We are to be humbled by our sin, by our spiritual weakness and that of others, our being prone to temptation. We are to cast ourselves upon the mercy of God for forgiveness, yes, but also for renewal, for change. To pray to God for His work. His work in our hearts and lives and in the hearts and lives of others. Congregation, realize your spiritual, your moral inability Confess your sin to God. And you and I, we deserve nothing good. We deserve only and always tragedy by nature. The deeper question about, again, tragedy isn't why me? Or why this? Or why now? The real questions are why not me? Why not worse? Why not earlier and all through my life? We are to cast ourselves upon God forever. Don't be like Israel of old, or like Elimelech, or Mahlon, or Chilion, or at this point, Naomi. Don't seek your own path. Live according to what you think is right. There's a way that seems right to a man. It doesn't say just non-Christians there. There's a way that seems right to a man. But the end thereof is the way of death. It's not simply earthly tragedy. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. But ultimately we can say it is spiritual tragedy, death in its deepest sense. Follow your own heart. Follow your own way. And it leads to hell. And children, that's one reason why your parents discipline you. They discipline you, why? After you've just gone your own way and done what you wanted to do. And they discipline you in part to reveal, look, my son, my daughter, sin leads to death. Parents, discipline your children with that goal. Don't discipline them because they embarrassed you or because they offended you or because they keep up some appearance. Discipline them to God's glory and their own well-being, their soul. We see that with tragedy, God often drives his children into his word. He drives us to our knees into prayer. What happens when earthly tragedy strikes and when God convicts us of spiritual tragedy? He works repentance. We cry out to him. We pray. That's why the elders, if someone's going through a tragedy and they stay away from worship, that's a concern for us. Because at worship, you come before God and you receive grace to help in time of need. Now, the failures, the spiritual needs of the characters in this story, they point to the need for someone to step in and reverse what's going this way. Again, the spiritual tragedies are not specifically addressed, while the earthly tragedies are what's called out directly, but they can't be separate. The invisible hand of God resolves a spiritual tragedy as well as earthly. But this is the setting for Ruth. It's tragedy, spiritual, earthly. Well, then briefly, in our third point, we talk about how to deal with tragedy, dealing with tragedy. Now, spiritual tragedy, we've set it forth this morning, it's sin. It's our sin. But earthly tragedy, again, is not always tied directly to our sin. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But earthly tragedy is always tied with sin in general, is a result of living in a fallen world with fallen people. That's always true. Before Adam's sin, there was no death in the world, or no destruction of property and people. Sin came into the world through Adam's first sin, and through sin, death. But God uses tragedy, earthly, spiritual, for his purposes. Punishment of the evil, discipline of his people, instruction. God uses tragedy to set the stage for his amazing work. Then, how we deal with tragedy is first, analyze ourselves. Is there sin here at the root of it? Has your sin been dealt with? How have you dealt with your sin? Have you ignored it? Have you reasoned it away? Or by God's grace, if you confessed it to the Lord and said, Lord, I am a sinner, and I am a sinner here and here. And I realize, Lord, I didn't take time for my spiritual life as I ought to have. You've gotten my attention. Thank you for doing that. Forgive me. Wash me in Christ's blood. It's only in Christ that righteousness is found. He alone is righteous. It's only through faith in his shed blood that forgiveness for sins is received. Christ suffered tragedy in the place of his people. He was personally righteous, innocent, undeserving of any tragedy. But he took all that upon himself for us to pay the penalty for those who trust in him. So when tragedy comes, it's good to examine ourselves, to humble ourselves. Don't waste those tragedies. Make the most of them. Learn from them. Tragedies are that. They are tragedies. But the Lord brings them into our lives for a purpose. Again, maybe to point out some sin in our lives, but maybe it's sin of others, or maybe just in God's providence, to humble ourselves. That's always a good thing. To be humbled before God. We don't like it. But He's God. To drive us into His Word. To drive us into prayer. To shake us out and to say, you see what's most important? It's worship. To realize, as Proverbs 16 says, there's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it's the way to death. The security is to be found in Christ alone. Those are good results of how to deal with tragedy. And just as the spiritual and earthly tragedies in Ruth, throughout the Bible also, they set the stage for the revelation of God's grace and power. So in your life, your tragedy set the stage for God to reveal Himself as gracious, as strong, as faithful, as your friend. Maybe not as the world expects to see it. But as you trust in the Lord, as you walk by faith and not by sight, you grasp more of God's grace and power against the backdrop of tragedy. In contrast to our own weakness. And you experience His blessing even in the midst of tragedy. We think when someone sees you go through tragedy and they ask you about it, what are you doing? What's going on there? You've been given the opportunity to evangelize. Take it. If you've seen through that tragedy some of your sin that was a result of it, take it and say, you know what? I was stuck in sin. Call it sin. The world might say, what, sin? Call it sin. And the Lord showed me, I was sinning here. By His grace, I turned from it. Life's not found there. It's in Jesus, in righteousness, in life. Or if it's someone else's sin, you can say how God's giving you grace to deal with them, to love them in the midst of it, but it's still hard. Tell them how God sent His Son, Jesus, who suffered great tragedy He didn't deserve, to bring life, righteousness, hope. And that's yours. Tell them how God is at work. How God has changed you through this tragedy, with this tragedy, and the hope you have of resurrection. And tell them and ask to pray with them. Ask to pray for them. We read twice here, we mentioned it, that Naomi was left. For those who walk by faith, God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, God uses tragedy to set the stage for His amazing work. By God's grace, encourage yourself in this. And in your tragedy, remember God's amazing work in Christ. And pray for His continued amazing work. And may God receive all the praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to You, we want a smooth life. We want to live our best earthly life now. We have a way, an idea of what that looks like. But also we know, Lord, that often our ways are wrong. They lead to death. Let us walk in Your way. Let us hold fast to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. Draw our eyes away, O Lord, from sin, certainly, but also putting trust in ourselves. Spiritual tragedies, may we turn from. The earthly tragedies, give us patience in. Give us eagerness to tell others where our hope is. In Your grace, in Your work, in Your Son, Jesus. Lord, You are good to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.